It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome into the show. John and Lance out at the Chevron Championship. I was here. Usually I'm out there with them, but, you know, I'm doing this. So the drive to the Woodlands, then back within 2 minutes would have been tough. So you think about how difficult it is for me to get from the control room into the studio in a reasonable amount of time, considering what I have to do for the transition. We kind of figured that maybe we don't send Dell out there. He stays here, and the guys are just fine setting up. And so I'm here in studio. I'm the only one, I think, right, Sean? The only one today who's in the building?
I think so, because I know Galan and George are at Highway Cantina, and I imagine is Killer Bees.
Okay.
So.
So if you are a big Twitch or YouTube person, sorry, it's just me and Sean today. If you are hoping to see the faces of Galan and George and the Killer Bees or the John Lance Show, apologies, I guess, are in order. Or maybe I just don't apologize to you at all. I'm mostly vamping because I'm trying to figure out how long we can stick with the Astros and the A block, Sean. Because, you know, you start the show with the local teams. I mean, we'll have some sound from the Rockets as they had their exit interviews. Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone. Congratulations to Rafael Stone, particularly if you are a fan of what he's done. He gets an extension. But those guys talked. We'll hear from them. But the Astros are generally the topic of conversation because – why wouldn't they be? They've established themselves as the best team in the city for a long time, and people want to talk about this team because their championship hopes surrounding them. This version of them stinks. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it other than they're a bad baseball team. The numbers will tell you. Now, there are things where you look at them and go, you know what? Just a couple tweaks. We get healthy with the pitching staff, and we get our guys back, and some of these guys get out of slumps, and we'll be A-okay. Because we have great players. But until that moment comes, they're terrible. They lose yesterday. Hunter Brown followed up Arrigetti's performance with another performance from the starting rotation that exceeded Sean and I's expectations. Those are two in a row, but it didn't matter. They still lost because the bats were silent. And again, the game was very similar to Monday's game, where it was close to route, frustrating night from the lineup, and then the ninth inning happened. And the game got away from them. You had the debut of Forrest Whitley. He gave up a two-run double. He hit a guy, and he walked a guy. But because all of those runs were inherited and they go to Dubin, Forrest Whitley gets out of his first major league outing with nothing happening to his ERA. He has an ERA of zero. But you watch him pitch and go, not great. And I don't know what else we would have expected for a guy who's only up because of all the injuries. The Astros needed arms, and Whitley and Dubin were out there. And Dubin was good. He came in a basis-loaded situation. We might say a spot left Hunter Brown in too long. He gave up a sack fly, then got out of the inning without any other damage, and then he got to the ninth inning, and things got away from him, just like they got away from Hader on Monday. So the Astros lose the first two of the series to the Braves. And once again, I'm listening to the Braves broadcast, and they're talking a lot about what this Astros team has been, but there's this undertone of maybe they're not that team. Again, Ken Rosenthal wrote a piece we'll get to. Now, he wrote this before the Braves series, so there was some positivity because he watched them beat the Rangers two days in a row. So you're like, you know what? Maybe the Astros will be okay. That was part of his piece, but he went through all the issues, and we'll talk about it. And he spoke about, or he wrote about, the owner pretending to be a GM. He talked about the Michael Brantley deal that the Astros got nothing out of. And we know the deals we've talked about quite a bit, the Jose Abreu one, the Montero one, and, of course, the most recent one in Josh Hader. And the Josh Hader thing hasn't gone well. And, you know, because it's early, you think eventually Josh Hader will be fine. But the thought was, what you spent on Hader, you could have spent on three pitchers. And he talks about the salaries of the guys who left, namely Nerys, he was the biggest name, at least in my eyes. But you guys know, the Astros lost a lot of quality innings from their bullpen, and they spent it all on Hader, and Rosenthal says it might have been just reactive to losing Kendall Graveman. He's out, so you go sign the biggest name reliever on the market, and he feels like that's an owner move. The owner says, we got to make a move, so let's pay Hader all the money instead of strengthening your bullpen throughout. So we'll get into more of that article. So there are people paying attention to what this Astros team is currently and what they could be. Not a lot of positivity, and why would there be? Because if it ain't one thing, it's the other. As I said, Hunter Brown exceeds expectations in the lineup. You know, we're just going to spend a couple nights not hitting. And you wasted a good outing by Hunter Brown. It wasn't great, but a quality start. And then you wasted Arrigetti and most of your bullpen, keeping you in the game on Monday. So, Sean, how long do you think we go? As long as the Astros are, what are they now? 7 games under .500? What are they? Or are they 6-14? 6-13. 7 games under .500. I think that's the math. 13 minus 6 equals 7. If they get to 10 games under .500, do we stop putting them in the A block unless something crazy happens the night before, the day before? How long does this go on?
So if they get to 20 losses before 10 wins,
yes. Do we stop mentioning them in the first segment? Do we say, okay, we'll get to the Astros at some point, but there's no point talking about them right now?
The calendar is what's tough.
It's true. It's not a lot.
Well, and next week the Texans are, well, actually, no, probably not next week.
No, yeah, the draft is, what, the 27th?
But it's on Thursday, and they don't have a pick.
It's true. It's
so Friday.
Friday, we're talking about who fell and who they may be able to, yeah, may be able to,
okay,
get.
Okay, so yeah, they might, they, you know.
It'll be
playoff. Astros might fall out of.
It'll be NBA playoff time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not local stuff, but it's still the playoffs. So the calendar makes a subject to talking about them in the A block, even when they're terrible.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, there could always be a trade with the Texans.
Sure.
With the NBA playoffs going on, other than, you know, the media availability from Stone and Udoka yesterday, there's probably not going to be a ton of Rockets until like June-ish when, you know, the rumor mill starts, May, June, the rumors mill starts going. But yeah. In general, I understand what you're saying, where how much longer can we just be like, man, this team can't get it together.
And yeah. What else are you going to say?
At what point are, yeah. I mean, especially in a game like the one last night, which was a carbon copy of the game that happened the night before. I don't know what to say other than Josh Hader wasn't the one that blew it this time.
It was,
so that's good, I guess.
Yeah, his ERA isn't over 11 now.
Yeah, it's like, we don't have to do the, we're paying this guy this much money and he's doing that show. Like, at least it's, hey, these guys are making the minimum that blew it.
Yeah, guys who are being called up because there are no other options as far as the entire system is concerned.
Literally, no options.
Yeah, that's why Forrest Whitley was in Minute Maid Park and he made his debut as soon as he was there. They had to go to a guy. Now, I don't think we're going to be a show that crushes managerial decision just because it's not our bag. We can get in maybe a spot I should have gone to Presley to keep it close, but you know, there's some foresight. Maybe I need Presley potentially today, so let's not do that. And hopefully Dubin could have kept them in it, and he pitched well enough until he didn't, and then Forrest Whitley certainly wasn't going to hold the Braves lineup down, so the Astros go down and the lineup, of course, because the Braves are just trying to get out of there, the lineup showed up a little bit in the bottom of the ninth. They were one batter away from getting Jose Altuve to the plate with a chance to tie the game, and the Braves announcer certainly talked about it, but that didn't occur. He didn't come up with the chance to tie. The Astros go down 6-2. Kyle Tucker hits a home run in the ninth inning, and to pad the stats, I guess, if we're trying to find positives.
That's always the sad one, especially in baseball, I feel like, because you kind of have to tweet every highlight or every like home run highlight, and so you get like the sad, like, Kyle Tucker puts one on the board tweet.
Yeah, home run.
Yeah.
The Astros admin, you can't blame me for this.
And then, look, and I'm then just 12 minutes later they have to go, we'll rebound tomorrow.
Yeah.
Final.
Yeah, the we just lost tweet is always a sad one.
But the sad home run right before we just lost to Tweed is arguably just as sad.
Yeah, because you have to acknowledge it. But
it's sponsored.
Yeah, of course. But we all know that no one cares about that because it just pisses people off that you're tweeting in the middle of a blowout. A blowout that you had hoped would have been a bounce back from the night before. Except, like you said, it was just a carbon copy of the Monday night game. The Astros provided people with not a lot of entertainment. Hell, Lance was there, and he said they left in the middle of like the sixth inning just to get out of there. It was that boring.
Mm.
Not a real fan, I would say.
Yeah. Mm. That to me says more about LZ than.
There with family, I believe. But yeah, to your point, yes, it says more about Lance Zierlein. Spoiled Astro fan, I'd say.
Oh, the most spoiled. Actually, I'm probably the most spoiled. Actually, the kids that are like 16 are the most spoiled.
Yeah, who've known nothing.
Literally,
since they could understand the sport, have known nothing but success. Yeah, they're the most spoiled. I remember when people were excited when little leaguers from the state of Texas were referencing Astros as their favorite player. Hey, things are changing. It was coming off the 100 lost seasons and I think it was right after the 2015 season or right around.
Altuve was a big hit.
I think so. And people were like, and people who would see it and they would tweet about him. Hey, look at that. No more Yankees or Red Sox. Wow. We got Texas kids wanting to root for the Astros.
Wow, Johnny Sanders says his favorite player is Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a tide-turning event, and then we saw what the rest of the decade was. The Astros kept winning and kept winning big. And now those kids are like, hey, what's Mookie Betts doing? He's a great player, right?
Do you think any of those kids are like, my favorite player is Jose Abreu?
I don't think kids in Chicago said that when he was winning an MVP.
Because he plays just like me.
I'm as bad as he is.
If I was in the majors, I'd be just as bad.
Yeah, you want to be like your heroes. And if that guy can...
Not that much like your hero.
If that guy can be in the major league, so can I. Swinging and missing on 88-mile-per-hour pitches right down the middle. If you look at pitch track. So the Astros lose. I mentioned Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone. They spoke. Ime was apparently very jovial, which is not like him, according to people who cover the team and are out there all the time. He said some, I guess, funny things. He was asked about Jalen Green. He was asked about what this team needs to do, what they could have done this year, I guess, to not be out of the mix and can be and would be a play-in team or a playoff team. So we'll get to that as well. And speaking of the play-in, we had news from that as well. Zion Williamson, great night that ended not so great. And the death of the Warriors as we know it. We've buried them in the past, but this version of them seems like they committed seppuku, and the Kings were their second. Hey, we're going to start the process of ending this, but you guys are going to finish it by cutting off our heads, and the Kings did that last night. We'll get into the NBA and a disturbing report regarding my favorite team. I can't believe they're paying this guy this much money for how bad he's been. We'll get to that too as I rant about the wealth for coaches in college football, no matter how good they do on a year to year basis. We are one segment in. We still need an answer, Sean. You didn't come up with an answer as far as can we continue to make the Astros the A block of this show?
May 1st is when we find out
if they're still. If there's still how many games, like 8 or 9, 10? I think if they're 10 games under 500 and it's May 1st.
If they don't have a 3-game win streak.
Yeah, they haven't reached that yet. True. If they don't.
Because, I mean, realistically, they do need to just start
winning games at this point. I mean, the AOS stinks. The AOS stinks. They're only 3.5 back. The AOS isn't good. The Astros aren't good, so that helps.
Great.
But being the tallest little person is great.
Or the littlest little person.
Yeah, excuse me. They're not even the littlest little. They're not even the Rangers, I think, are the tallest little person. The Astros are the littlest of the little people right now. You might want to step it up if we're trying to make this season matter. Well, May 1st, we'll make a determination when we can stop talking about the Astros first. I wish it was April 1st, to be honest with you, the way they're playing. I wish we had made that decision to start the month of April. We'll get to the Rockets when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew.
This
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. While Sean and I are questioning how much we can talk about the Astros in the first segment of the show, we welcome you. If you guys want to call in about the Astros, we're fine. We welcome it. This is an open forum. If you were overwhelmed by golf talk in the previous show and think to yourself, there's not time for me to talk about what I want to talk about, this is the show for you. In fact, that's generally where I position the show all the time. If you don't want to talk about what John and Lance are talking about, because I know I don't, you can call in to this show and talk about what you want to talk about. Oakley wants to talk about the Astros. What's up, Oakley?
Hey, I want to shout out to my Dr. Sammy here in Baytown.
Okay, great.
And I'm glad this is a serious sports show and they don't talk about what their kids are wearing. So that's nice. But are we sure that Rob Manfred isn't the source of Astros problems, like him sneaking into the starters' houses and knocking them out, giving us Josh Hader? You know, what do y'all think about that?
Yes, a serious sports show. Is the commissioner of baseball breaking into Astros' homes and drugging them? How are we talking about chloroform or like a bonk on the head like a cartoon? What are we talking about?
Well, probably a bonk on the elbow from what it looks like.
Yeah, well, you're talking about arm injuries. I don't know if Rob Manfred is that guy. I don't think he's that guy, pal.
You know what? He probably has.
He's sending someone to do it, yeah. if anything.
I was kind of with Oakley at the start. No, definitely at the start of the call, but at the start of the Rob Manfred theory. Because I was going to say, they didn't have a first-round pick, and I don't think they had a second-round pick 1 year. And they didn't have a first-round pick for 2 years. And so that's a little bit of where, you know, they keep going back for reinforcements from the minor leagues, and they don't exactly have a blue tripper because they didn't draft in the first round. I was like, yeah, that kind of is Rob Manfred's fault. But he went in a different direction. But I think headline, we both agree.
Yeah, we can blame Rob Manfred for plenty.
We all have our reasons.
Yeah, he has a different reason to blame him, but you can blame him for the depletion of the Astros minor league system because of the lack of picks, and now you're asking a guy from, 2016 to get meaningful outs? Well, they weren't so meaningful at that point, but you're to be fair.
They could have been meaningful.
He could have been in a meaningful game, although that would have been unlikely, but you never know. So the likes of Dubin and Whitley are trying to get you to the bottom of the ninth inning as the Astros were trying to stay in it.
Hey, Astros preserved their bullpen for today.
Yeah, and they may need it.
They actually did a pretty good job this whole series.
Yeah, they've done a good enough job this whole series. But the bullpen has done well until the very end, and the starters have done enough to keep the team in it, and the bullpen's kind of continue that. Yeah. And you also have you'll have Hader and Presley and Abreu ready for today if it matters, if they need them.
Is this two rose-colored glasses or brick-red colored glasses to say, like, this series does not really worry me at all? Like, I don't feel worse about the Astros because of this series, because ultimately I think we've come to learn this season that if this team is going to do anything special, it's because they have a special offense. And just two games where they don't score any runs, it's like, yeah, they're not going to win those. Like,
yeah.
And honestly, with the way the pitching has performed, again, in the innings 1 through 8, you feel pretty decently good, especially against an offense like Atlanta, that they were able to hold them down for the vast majority of both these games. And
I don't think it's a bad way of looking at it, particularly if you believe.
Because I believe in the Astros offense.
This is the thing.
It's just they're going to score one, they're going to score two.
And then they're going to explode for like 9.
They're going to score 9, yeah.
You would just hope there's some middle ground of like 6 or 5.
Yeah, I wish we could have gotten some 5s.
Yeah, and your pitching is good enough where you get to guys who, I mean, Hader excluded because he was there to hold them down. But to your point, the Presley Abreu Hader trio are involved in games more because you're scoring 5 to 6 runs and you need them to come in to shut down the offense 7, 8, and 9 from the opponent. Yeah. So yeah, what has happened over the course of the last 2 days doesn't make me feel worse. You would just hope this offense finds a groove instead of we see what they did against the Rangers, and then the Braves come in and Darius Vines holds you down for over the course of a game. You're like, what? This? Why? Why is this guy the one? But you, then you realize just because they beat the Rangers twice doesn't mean the home curse is over.
No, no. They just own the Rangers
yes,
in the regular season.
In the regular season. They have their way with them.
In
the
regular
season. The most important aspect of last year, they did not own them at home.
But they, Astros owned the Silver Boot.
Yes. Yes. I still contend that
you they should have it on the sideline.
You win an AC. I'm telling you, if it's a close Silver Boot race at the end in the final series, if the Rangers happen to win it, then they can run to the Astros yes. dugout and grab it. But if the Astros keep it, they can get out on the field and hold it up and say, "We win again."
I wish it was a wearable one, like the
Oklahoma Texas hat,
yeah,
golden
like the hat.
Hat
where they can put on.
It can't be one. There's no boot that's one size fits
yeah,
all.
And
there needs to be two.
Silver.
Who's gonna walk around with the one boot? It has to be silver boots.
Bregman has the left boot.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu has the right boot.
Yeah, you have to have silver a silver boot. So there's some logistical things.
Yeah.
Getting in the way of your dream.
Maybe they're like spurs, and then they can just put them on their cleat. I don't know.
Something. I don't know. A diamond necklace silver boot?
I mean, they would never do this, but like two guns would be cool.
Yeah, not in this day.
But that would be a cool trophy.
Six shooters.
That'd be a cool trophy.
Two shooters?
Yeah. Two like old-timey guns.
Yeah. I mean.
One's the rain, you know.
Maybe 40 years ago. When the Washington basketball team could still be called the Bullets.
Yeah, the Astros with the Colt 45s.
Yeah, not anymore. We're long past those days. We were going to get to Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone, but we got into a serious baseball discussion.
It's very serious.
Because we're a serious sports show. And Oakley is right about one thing. We won't talk about what our kids are wearing because we don't have kids.
Yeah, that is...
It's impossible for that to happen.
Dell and Sean guaranteed.
Yeah, we are the only show who won't reference our kids, and that's a guarantee, because we're the only show that has no kids on it.
Yeah, combined.
Combined. I mean, there's at least one on every other show. So you'll hear some story at some point about someone's kid.
Honestly, Gallon George, there's one, and then all the other ones, there's like an average of like four.
Yeah.
A lot of that's the morning show driving the average.
Yeah, there's one guy in particular. Well, John's got three, but even still, he can't match Procreation King, Lance Zierlein. Maybe he should be the patron saint of procreation. I gave that nickname to someone else. But maybe Lance should be that. He's Catholic, so maybe that should be him. As I said, we'll get into the Rockets when we come back. More serious sports talk on the other side. Ime Udoka spoke. Rafael Stone spoke. They spoke about their stars. They spoke about the season. We'll hear from them when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. We will get to the Rocket stuff, as I continue to promise. But hey, we take phone calls, and if someone wants to call in about something else, we will certainly get to that. Bailey wants to talk about sports betting. What's up, Bailey?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hashtag free Rahizi.
He's not,
what's
he's
the
not
over
in jail?
And under on Alicia Cuthbert being on OnlyFans? What do you think?
Ryan, I know this is your bit, but Ryan, just announce yourself as Ryan. It's cool. I don't care if you called the previous show and you think I got to go by Bailey to get my take off or my question off. Alicia Cuthbert, if you don't know her, she was in that babysitter movie. I forgot what it was called, but she played the hot babysitter. She was also in an ABC sitcom for a while. You would recognize the face, if not the name. She was the daughter on 24. That's probably where she came to fame. She's been around for quite a bit. She was in the era of TV money where they actually paid actors, and she was on long-standing shows. So unless she's been a poor spender, I think she's got plenty of cash. If you just use her 24 money, although she wasn't the star, but she was the daughter. And then on her sitcom, she's probably got enough cash to sustain herself. And then you throw in some of the movie roles as well. 41 years old. The Girl Next Door was the name of it. Maybe she wasn't a babysitter, or maybe she was. But the name of the movie was The Girl Next Door. She was on the Netflix show The Ranch for years. Ryan, once again, another woman who I would tell you, you've got little to no shot to see her have an OnlyFans account. I guess the ABC sitcom was Happy Endings, which went on, which is what maybe Ryan's looking for, which was on. I had to do it, Sean. It was right there for me. That show was on from 2011 to 2013. She was on 24. Now, she came in and out of that show. Sometimes she was part of the storyline. Maybe she didn't even appear for a season, but 2001 to 2010. Ryan, I'm going to put the chances of Alicia Cuthbert showing up on OnlyFans at less than 1%. She's got lots of TV money. Lots of TV money. And you're once again reaching.
Lots of different TV money, too.
Yes, so different shows.
Different residual checks that are like $17.
Yeah, she was on TV a lot before the age, before the streaming age really took over. So she was getting real residual money. So syndication money is what she was getting, Ryan, which means those checks kept rolling in. And as I said, most frequently she was on looks like 4 or 5 seasons of The Ranch. Ah, you're out. You're out of luck, buddy. Forget about that one. Too much money being made.
Hopefully she's bad at
investing.
Management. Yeah. Maybe
For Ryan's sake. I hope she's doing just fine. But for Ryan or Bailey's sake, you better hope she's poor with the cash. And it doesn't appear to be, because she hasn't worked since 2020. Well, 2022, she was in a movie.
Oh.
But it doesn't look like she's rushing to take roles.
Hmm?
So maybe you're out of luck, Ryan.
Maybe she has an interpreter that steals money from her, allegedly.
Ryan can hope, I guess. But
she's Canadian.
She is Canadian, but she does speak English. So I don't know who she needs an interpreter for.
Maybe she lives in Montreal. I don't know.
Yeah, a French-Canadian interpreter stealing all of her money. And the French-Canadians and English-speaking Canadians do have issues sometimes. But I think you're out of luck there. Sorry, Ryan. We'll do this again. Once again, another blonde. He has a type, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a blonde. Let's move on.
Speaking of blonde,
no, there are no blondes on the Rockets to get to. John Lindell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he wasn't the star of the show yesterday. That was Udoka, and Rafael Stone. And I don't know if Jock Landell was mentioned at all yesterday. He might have been, but he wasn't the focus of the conversation. It was about the young Rockets and what they did. A lot of the talk throughout the year was about Ime Udoka. Tough coach, old school, no more of that players coach stuff, the softness that was Steven Silas, because if you couldn't take a shot at Steven Silas, what were you even doing talking about the Rockets? It was just part of the equation. Ime Udoka gets mentioned. You managed to work in a stray at Steven Silas. Well, the media asked Ime Udoka yesterday about how his young team took to his tough coaching, and this is what he said.
I mean, I think it was pretty immediate. You know, we spent a good amount of time in the offseason together, and so that was never a secret. They understood that coming in, but it wasn't like I was just coaching them for the first time once we started in preseason. They understand who I am, and we've had a ton of conversations leading into the season, so, you know, that's the coaching piece. As far as the benchings or, you know, whatever it is, I think guys understand what they do on the court is going to be rewarded. And so, you know, I said at the start of the year, like, roles and minutes and those things are not handed out anymore, and guys will compete for those. And when you do the right things, you'll be on the court. And so it wasn't always a case of what some guys didn't do as much as what the others did.
As soon as he started making jokes, as soon as he started making jokes, I was, okay, he's in a good mood. I would have said, did you call any players what you call LeBron? Did you call any of your players soft-ass boys at any point? Or was that reserved for one of the greatest players to ever play the game? How tough were you?
That's for the opposition.
Yeah. What do you call your players when you want to get their attention or where you think they're not being tough enough? Because we heard him after the Golden State game. He pretty much said the lights are too bright for that team. Some guys showed up. Most of the team didn't. So I wonder what the particular phrases he used when he wanted to get his message across. But that question wasn't asked. I'm just a rabble-rouser and a bleep starter. And I don't cover the team on a daily basis. It doesn't help any of those guys to ask that question. You needed someone who maybe only would be out there once well, at the end of the year to get that question off. So Ime Udoka.
Are you comparing yourself to Outkick at the women's final?
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to. A good pull by you. I wanted to say it, but I was like, "Nah, I don't want to compare myself."
Ask your one question that gets then, clicks in the lead,
and then run out of there. Yeah, that was the thought as I was going through it. But like, I didn't want to compare myself.
Oh,
okay,
sorry.
Yeah, no, you were dead on because it was in my brain.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just didn't want to do it myself. As the thought rolled through. Credit to Sean for that one.
ESPN 97.5's Clay Travis.
Ooh.
Not who you think it would be.
Oof. yeah, surprisingly enough. Well, I guess I would be the
You'd
Jason.
Be the last pick.
Yeah.
You'd be the last pick.
To anyone who got compared to Clay Travis, I certainly would be the last pick. The guy who sits in the to the right from 7 to 10, maybe the first pick. You never know. You never know. Just watch ESPN YouTube if you want to know who I'm – ESPN Houston on YouTube if you want to know who I was referencing. But also, Rafael Stone was there. He got a contract extension. He's got to feel pretty good. Now, this happened earlier in the year. It was just reported yesterday. So he's got to feel pretty good. And he put together a roster that had some questions about it. Why are you paying Fred VanVleet that type of money? Why are you paying Dylan Brooks that type of money? And did you make the right picks? Well – he's got some contract concerns coming up here. It's a discussion we've had throughout the year. And here's Rafael Stone discussing potential contracts for Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green.
Hold on. I don't have that one.
He doesn't have that one, ladies and gentlemen. That's fine. He is a producer. I understand what that's like. And he's also got a phone call to deal with. So it's getting busy in there for Sean. If you want to call in, once again, 713-780-3776. It'll be an interesting thing for the Rockets this offseason. How are they going to address those contracts? What's the timeline for them? Here's Rafael Stone talking about it.
I'm not a, like, we won't engage. I just, you know, if you want to have a relationship with them, it's based on communication. So we will definitely talk about them. The way the CBA is set up, it's you can extend. You don't have to. And you can always revisit next summer. So in that sense, there's no gun to our head or anything else. We'll have conversations. We'll see what makes sense for us, what makes sense for them, and then both sides will end up, you know, making whatever decisions we make. So I would say it's an opportunity to have good discussions with them. We look forward to that, but not feeling like it's a burden or a crushing pressure or anything like that.
So no urgency or no need for urgency, at least from Rafael Stone's point of view. What the players will feel like, we'll see. What their agents will try to get done, that's a different discussion. But the Rockets are not in a mode where they feel like they need to pay either of those guys right now.
And that's the right strategy to project is that, well, I don't know.
I mean, hey, we can take this to the take this to the limit.
Pay next year.
Yeah, hey, or not.
Be good for one more year.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like the Nico Collins situation where it's like,
yeah,
if we want to pay you, we can. But, I mean, has Alperen Şengün or Jalen Green really been so good that they're a no doubt about it, you know, at now it's not 12:01, but, you know, at the first minute of free agency, there's a Woj tweet about they've extended them for the max. You know, like, they're not that guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I had two references for that.
Already. What a show we're having. They're not the types where this is an obvious yes. I know everyone's high on Şengün, and Jalen Green's month of March may change the perspective on what he can possibly be. But are they didn't even make the play-in. Now, the West was really good. You needed to win like 46 games, and there's some sound we'll hear from Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka about why this team wasn't a play-in/playoff team, and some of it has to do with the lack of consistency. But you didn't even make the play-in, so why are we investing this much? Prove yourselves. And if you are shown to be although you can only be really one centerpiece, I guess, two building blocks to a playoff team and a contender, and you prove that, great. We'll have a real discussion. There'll be some urgency, and obviously the Rockets have the protection of restricted free agency. So they can let those guys go out and find a deal and then match it if they want. Or they can tell the world, hey, no matter what NBA team thinks they're going to pay one of these guys, we're going to match. That is the protection they have following this upcoming season and then the offseason. If they don't get an extension done, hey, go search out a deal. And if you get it, we'll just match it, and we're going
to
be fine.
It also makes it makes them easier to trade if we're going to trade them.
That's true.
Before the deadline for perhaps a star, which they talked about. Stone talked about where he was like, well, not necessarily star chasing, but
star browsing.
Star browsing. Yeah, okay. He basically was like, there's not a ton of urgency to go out and add, which was kind of what's been talked about. It was talked about at the trade deadline where there's some report about how aggressively they're going to pursue, you know, veteran trade targets. And then they traded for Steven Adams, who isn't going to play.
He is a veteran, though, Sean.
He is a veteran. But I think they framed it as to make a playoff push.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do it.
They traded for a guy who wasn't going to play the rest of the way. Yeah.
And then ever since then, there's been the, you know, that. Because the Donovan Mitchell stuff, rumors have kind of started up in overtime, I guess, are really cranking them out. The thought is, oh, what kind of star would they trade for in the offseason? And it's just interesting that Stone's like, we'll see. I don't know.
Well, if they better aim higher than the Mikal Bridges we saw this season.
Oh, yeah.
I that was a name that was floated around, as you mentioned, around the All-Star break. And that Mikal Bridges who... is probably a good three on a very good team. Mate, what he was in Phoenix, pretty much.
I was thinking about this the other day, thinking about the Mikal Bridges thing and how he was almost traded for Jalen Green and a bunch
multiple
of picks.
First rounders.
Would you trade him now, right now? Would you trade him for like Tari Eason straight up?
I don't want to be disrespectful to Mikal Bridges. He is a good player, but the Rockets, if they're making trades for veterans, I think are making a trade for a star.
Yeah, I'm saying
a real star.
I'm not saying who's better. I'm just saying with the contract situation.
I'm not paying.
Yeah, I don't think you'd trade. Like, it's crazy how bad months.
Yeah, the Mikal Bridges we saw this season is far different from the one we saw in the back half of 2022-23 when he was traded from Phoenix in the exchange for Kevin Durant. That guy, I would trade Tari Eason and Jalen Green for, and maybe throw in a pick too. But the one we're seeing now who, you're a bit piece on a good team, and you weren't even good enough to keep the Nets in contention. Beat it. I'm not making a trade for you now.
I haven't seen any Instagram lives where he says Warriors come out and play.
All he wants
to me, that's points off.
All he wants to do is join his buddies in New York with the Knicks.
Do a podcast.
He will love to be part of that Nova group in New York for the Knicks as opposed to being in Brooklyn. So that's probably where his interest lies, and that's fine. He wants to be like a third or fourth on a good basketball team. The Rockets, as I said, should be aiming higher. La Raza, I see you. You want to talk about Rockets? Anybody else want to talk about the end of the Rockets season and what was said? There's more sound to get to, as I said, including what the two luminaries yesterday believe kept the Rockets out of the playoffs. We'll get into some Champions League. I always like to close an arc. We talked about Champions League last week around this time. Great games yesterday. A lot of goals scored. The two Spanish powers are out. And Kylian Mbappe did something that anybody who's going to join Real Madrid should do to Barcelona. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But La Raza, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. La Raza, I see you. Just a couple of things I want to get to from Dana Brown. He made an appearance on local radio today. Some of the quotes coming out are one about Josh Hader. He talks about his fastball still being good. And when you look at the back of this guy's baseball card, it lets you know he'll get going. Or these guys, he was talking in general. And he goes back to Hader, says he's going to close a lot of games. A lot of the Astros talk is about what these guys have done, and that's why we think they're going to be good in the future. And that's kind of what you generally do when you talk about baseball. He has a history of being great, so we're not worried because this is early. When I hear about Jeff Bagwell having personal hitting coaching moments with Jose Abreu. This is a guy trying to cover the investment he convinced Jim Crane to make. Hey, I'm going to get him right. I'm going to get this old man right. He's almost as old as you, or he's not, but it feels like he's almost as old as you are.
Contemporary.
Yeah, he feels like you played against each other, and you're out there with your personal touch trying to get him right. Yeah, you're grasping.
Can I also just ask, like, no more back of the baseball card talk.
Enough.
I'm good on that. Just, you could just say that. Just use different words, please.
He's got a history of being successful. We believe in him.
There's 140 games left.
Yeah, don't worry. It's early. No more back of the baseball.
Just card. Just tell me there's 140 games left.
Use that cliche. Use that cliche. I'm willing to accept that one.
A lot of baseball is still left to be played. That's another
one.
Where we're at.
That's another one. I'll take. But look at the back of his baseball card. I don't want to hear it anymore.
No.
I don't want to hear it.
Does he own – do you think if we, like, go digging, maybe he owns stock in, like, Tops or something?
Or Upper Deck.
Yeah, and he's, like, trying to, like, implant, like, buy his baseball card.
No, he sees what happens to GMs here. Not long for this world. So, hey.
It's not looking great.
No, it's not.
The last guy.
Won a World Series.
And they let him walk.
And they told him to beat it. So, yeah. Talking about reaching the pinnacle and it not mattering.
Yeah, hey, ask James Click about job security.
Yeah, I built that great bullpen. And?
It's cool. See ya.
Bye. It's now my time to make moves. And that's part of the Ken Rosenthal piece. James Click leaving and the months between James Click leaving and Dana Brown coming in and what the Astros did and how those signings haven't worked out so far. But Larrazo does want to talk about the Rockets, so we'll get to him before we go to break. What's up, Larrazo?
Sports, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Different show, but sure. Go ahead.
Hey, what up, Del? What up, Sean? First of all, I want to throw some shade at that last caller. He needs to get off OnlyFans and find a real girlfriend. Where that is, only that's about OnlyFans. Second thing I want to ask, Jimmy. Hey, do you think the Rockets could come up like Sacramento, like how they just completely destroyed Golden State? Is that the end of the era for Golden State? What do the Rockets need to become that? And also, do you think, I got another question. Is Joe Espada having issues because he's not a black coach like the other coaches? Because D'Amico and Emu have success, but Joe is not an African-American coach. You think that's the reason why he's not having success?
No. I don't think his race has a lot to do with it. Although, at one point, this city had, all the major teams were coached by a black coach, and it didn't go well all the time. If we just want to think back to last season, where it was Stephen Silas, Lovie Smith, well, not last season, 2022-23, as far as the Texans are concerned. The Stephen Silas, Lovie Smith combo, that wasn't a credit to, those guys are black, so they're terrible. The teams are terrible. I don't think anyone was putting it on the race, and I'm not going to put it on race here. Obviously, Laras is making a joke. I think Joe Espada is in a tough spot. His pitching stinks, and his lineup is inconsistent. You're not going to win a lot of baseball games that way. And if you look at the back of their baseball cards, that'll change. I'm just going by what Dana Brown tells me.
You don't have to.
No, but I have to because he's a black GM, and I'm a black radio host.
Oh.
So I have to do it. I have to. That's right. That's right, Sean.
Fist in the air.
Fist in the air. That's right. Solidarity. Oh. That's right. The back of the baseball card.
Right. Let's talk about Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka.
Oh, yeah. He did bring up the Rockets.
Let's hear you shill for them, too.
I got to.
Especially Udoka.
It's in the manual. I got to. Nigerian name. So I'm all in. Larrazo asked about can the Rockets be something like Sacramento. Now, Sacramento actually had a down year compared to last year. They were the 3 seed last year and was bounced by Golden State. And this year, they got their revenge as the 9 seed, and their revenge means they get to go to New Orleans and see a Pelicans team that might be compromised. Zion had a hamstring injury late in his game against the Lakers as he was on his way to maybe saving the Pelicans. Brandon Ingram was terrible. CJ McCollum was terrible. He scored 40 points. And on this final bucket, he tweaks the hamstring. His availability for their Friday elimination game is in doubt. But they'll see the Kings. The Kings beat the Warriors. And Larrazo asked, what is it going to take for the Rockets to be where the Kings are? And maybe he meant just in a playoff position. And that was the question asked about or asked of the likes of Udoka and Rafael Stone. And they had thoughts on it, and particularly Ime Udoka discussed – I'm giving Sean some time because he's had to answer calls and get sound ready. Ime Udoka discussed what kept them from being in the play-in in the playoffs, and this is what he said. I put him under the gun. The magic of live radio, where your producer has three things to do, and there's so much sound, but he's got it. Ime Udoka. I would say
being, you know, consistency is something I preach all year, and that's a big part of it. And then, you know, kind of circle back to the road record, and you know, understand if we took care of business on the road to the extent that we did at home, we'd obviously be in a different position. And so, those two areas will be areas of focus going forward.
Rafael Stone was funny. He used the phrase tricked off about games they lost. And we talked about, I don't know if we talked about it on this show, but the net rating suggests the Rockets should have won like 46 games. And they won five under. And there are games where they played just poorly against bad teams. We saw against Utah. Now they're out of the race for the play-in then, but a Utah team who was missing guys, was sitting guys, and Fred Van Fleet, according to Ime Udoka, was the only one who showed up. So that was one of those games, and they had a couple games earlier in the year as well where they were expected to win. The other team was either hurt or just guys weren't playing, and the Rockets blew games. So I guess overall, Larasa, this probably should have been a play-in team if you look at the numbers and consistency and having those guys show up all the time, which is something they'll certainly preach in the offseason, probably changes that.
Even if they just won 41 games again, or in any other year, they also just would have been a 10 seed or a 9 seed.
Probably.
Actually, 41 sometimes gets you to the 8, but
particularly in the East.
Yeah.
But this year, this year was unique because of how well the 7 through 10 were, how well those four teams did. But 41 and 41 probably gets them in. Now, of course, they went on a long winning streak late in the year to get them even in consideration.
In 2016, the Rockets were 42 and 40 and were the 8 seed. Yeah. So, like, this is a special circumstance, they're definitely, like you're saying with the net rating, they're not as far as it seems. I mean, we're talking about the 9 seed and they're the 11 seed. Sacramento is also a team. I think they might have been 3-0 or 3-1 against in the regular season. Obviously, they won the game where Şengün got hurt in May March.
Late in that game.
Yeah, so it's not that different.
They're not that far off.
The real difference is that Klay Thompson showed up at Toyota Center. He did not show up in Sacramento last night.
Or Jimmy Butler didn't show up against the Warriors when they're in Florida.
That didn't help either.
Yeah, though we've talked about that trip to Florida where the Warriors
were tricking
underdogs.
Did I say that right?
That's how Rafael Stone said it.
I don't know what that means. So.
It just means you kind of played yourself. You didn't do what you're supposed to. You kind of didn't take things as seriously
as
you should have.
Jimmy Butler, serial.
Tricking off guy.
Yeah.
Serial. We'll see.
In the regular season.
We'll see what he does. Yeah, we'll see if playoff Jimmy shows up tonight in the play-in. Or will the excuse be, hey, it's not the playoffs. There's no such thing as play-in Jimmy.
Play-off Jimmy. You said play-off.
Yeah, it's play-off Jimmy, not play-in Jimmy. It's Sixers heat tonight. Yeah.
Bam, get me to the 8 seed.
Yeah, Tyler Hero, you're back. It's you that we're depending on until the playoffs. I will see how that game goes. So we'll hear more from the Rockets and their general manager. We'll hear him say tricked off and see what he meant by it. Is that Billy? Billy, I see you up there. We'll get to you. You want to talk about the Rockets? Anyone else want to talk about the Rockets or anything else that happened yesterday? I do want to get to a proposal that's already kind of dead in the water as far as I mentioned Champions League. Well, at one point, there was supposed to be a Super League in European soccer. There was a proposal for a Super League in college football, 70 teams, relegation model. We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program, but Rockets, Astros, we'll get to them as well. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.